Let's pray real fast. Father, thanks. Thank you for coming and hanging with us and for filling my mouth. Thank you for these people who came to help me as well as to learn more what we do. I ask that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's one thing I wanted to share with you before I go any further, and that is that Kids for Christ USA is not God. That is a strange statement until you take the time to think about it. And what I'm trying to say to you is that ministry in and of itself has a tendency with a lot of us who are highly driven, visionary type, ministers, parent sponsors, what have you. And I know that since we're taping it tonight, I know this is going to end up in the hands of pastors and of children's pastors and youth pastors and parents who are as highly driven as I myself am. And I know that this warning is important because for me, I can take Kids for Christ and it becomes so important to me that I get out of balance because I put all my time and energy into Kids for Christ. And if I'm not careful, I end up being like the Greeks who had many gods, raising money for my family, caring for this, doing that, Kids for Christ, they become gods. But those things aren't God. God is God. And if we keep that in balance, if we keep that fresh in our mind when we go into the schools, oh, wait a minute, Kids for Christ isn't God today. God is God, and God is the one that's going to show up and touch the lives of these kids. Then we can really be successful in changing the lives of kids and their families. And that's what this is about. I heard from a pastor here in town just this weekend. He was reading a book from Eugene Peterson. And Eugene Peterson said in that book, he said that we now live in an adolescent society. That in years past, society was gauged by what the 30 and 40-year-old crowd believed was important. But now, society is gauged as an adolescent crowd. It's the younger generation that tells us all what's cool, why I wear the glasses I wear when I'm 41 years old, because they're cool. Why the younger age are the ones that are leading us. What am I saying? I'm saying that if we reach these kids, we can change the face of this nation. And that's what Kids for Christ is about. But always keep it in balance, please. Keep it in balance and remember who God is. Since January of 2001, I've taught, I've experienced, I've learned a lot. I've suffered, sacrificed, and I've rejoiced at the results that we've seen. It's been a phenomenal time and a phenomenal thing to see the lives of kids changed on a daily basis. To go into a school and work with my team in efforts to annihilate the myth that you can't bring the Bible into the schools. That's what we've worked to do. And it has been a phenomenal thing to see. We've seen kids just lit on fire for Jesus. I had one time in Walmart about 3 years ago, a couple, I walked into Walmart, and this couple was wearing matching t-shirts. They thought they were cute. They were wearing these matching t-shirts that said, it was like God, you know, God asking questions. You remember that trend a few years ago? I mean, they would ask God a question and God was answering, and it said, God was a kid. Why did all those kids get killed in the public school? And God's answer was, because I'm not allowed there. I'm going to tell you something. If there is one child who's given their life to Jesus in that public school, then he is allowed there. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He didn't say to those kids, you give your life to me and I'm with you always, except when you go into that school. When you go into that school, I'm sorry. You're on your own in that school. You can't go in there. If you go in there, I can't go with you because they don't want me there. Jesus didn't say that. He said, I'm with you always. And that's what we really wanted to do, is to share with the kids and to share with the people how Jesus is there with them, how you guys can be integral and changing the schools. I was 5 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. And at 5 years old, I grew up in the church from that time, constantly hearing the word, but never sharing the gospel with anyone. If I walked into the school, I was embarrassed to share with anyone that I was a Christian. I mean, for fear that I either wasn't cool or that I might get suspended if I told somebody about my church. There have been court cases, and now we can share in the school. Is it legal for the kids to share the gospel in the schools? Absolutely. And that's what Kids for Christ is about. It's about changing families by touching the lives of the kids. The goals of Kids for Christ are real simple. The purpose of Kids for Christ is to reach children in the public schools with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's been our number one objective. Our number two objective is to encourage young believers in their faith, enabling them to live consistently in Christ, to train and to equip young believers with what they need to win others for Christ. We work to help and organize parents who've already got clubs, help them to be successful. Our goal with Kids for Christ is to provide you with the tools that you need. There's one scripture that I think really and truly is, it describes Kids for Christ. And that scripture is Matthew 13:33. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman using yeast to make bread. Even though she uses a large amount of flour, it permeates every part of the dough. That's what we're about with Kids for Christ. We're about turning that school upside down with the gospel by utilizing these kids and inspiring these kids to change their school. We teach the kids a simple 8-finger prayer. This is what we do in Tulsa, and I would be happy to train people anywhere. This prayer rocks. It has changed lives. And here's what's happened. We have taught kids this prayer in a crazy way every week. And these kids get so excited about it that they go to the playground and they lead their friends to Jesus. I've had girls at one school here in Tulsa who will team up and go to the playground and lead their friends to Jesus. One girl led her teacher to the Lord. You can go to the kids and give them that tool. You can be teaching them about respecting their parents, and you can go right from teaching them to respect their parents into teaching them how to lead their friends to Jesus, because they're respecting their parents, they're respecting other people. And one way to show respect to people is to give them a ticket to heaven, because you want to treat other people like you want to be treated. And so you walk them through the ticket to heaven prayer. 2.5 years ago, one boy led his mother in that prayer. And about 4 months later, his mother died of lupus. That prayer, knowing that his mom was saved, knowing that his mom was in heaven, gave that boy peace in that situation. He told my team member, told him that he was okay with what happened with mom. He missed her, but he knew he'd see her again. My team member said, well, why do you know you'll see her again? He says, because I gave her a ticket. I'm blown away by that. I'm blown away by the idea that in 3.5 years we've seen over 2,500 people given tickets to heaven by children. We don't really have an accurate number on that, but somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 kids leading their friends to Jesus. That's what this ministry is about. It's about helping mom and dad be successful with the club they sponsor and changing the community around them. And I can't tell you how much it means to me to be a part of it. My goal in Kids for Christ, my number one goal, is to have an impact, have a hand in seeing that there's a Bible club, a thriving Kids for Christ style Bible club in every elementary school, all 56,800 public elementary schools in the United States of America. Am I going to be able to do that by myself? Of course not. Will going to other churches help? I hope so. What will help is moms and dads getting excited and telling their neighbors. Their neighbors getting excited and telling their friend across town. In Tulsa, we run 21 clubs right now. The potential for 30 in the very near future is there. We see 1,000 kids a week. And in 3.5 years, we've seen 6,000 plus children make decisions to serve Jesus just in this community. I want to help pastors catch this vision and realize that this is the most cost-effective way of reaching families that they're ever going to find, is to work with a parent and launch a Bible club in their schools. That's what we're about. I want to read something to you that I hope will inspire you. About 2 years ago, in a school not very far from where we're sitting, I was in front of 150 children. I've read this in this to some people in this room before. I had just the day before gone to my website. And at the website, I'd looked at the hits, and I had seen that roughly 30% of the hits that I had had that month were through Google, if I was reading it correctly, were through Google, and they were hunting for kids' devotionals. So I went into this school, and I said, guys, tell me, how many of you, your mom and dad, do devotions with you on a regular basis? And by regular, I mean once a week, once a month, once a year. How many of you, mom and dad, do devotions with you on a regular basis? Now, I don't know how many you would expect. If you're thinking, okay, we want to be shocked, we want to be high, we don't know what he's wanting. Honestly, how many do you think? Out of 150 children, I had one hand raised that day. One hand. I was stunned. So I asked him, I said, guys, tell me, if I put something on the web, on my website, devotionals for your mom and dad that they could go to and readily access it to do devotions with you, how many of you think your mom and dad would do it with you? About half the hands went up. So I handed out pieces of paper to every child in the room. And I want to read something to you, because a lot of times we forget that kids have real needs. If we think about it, because we're kids ministers or we're moms and dads, we generally think of those who are close to us. I want to read this to you. There's actual answers from some of these kids. Some are funny, some aren't so funny. How do I discern God's will in my life? That one is on my website. I'm 8 years old and I still suck my finger. What should I do? A lady that my mom works with is very sad because her husband died on Valentine's Day and she cries a lot. What should I do? My parents hate my music. Why? They want a devotional on that. My mom is mad at me and my bubba. What do I do? My sister and I fight a lot. Why is it hard to show your love to God? That's from a kid between the ages of first and fifth grade. My mom and dad fight all the time. What should I do? Now, I gave them an assignment to tell me about devotions, and they asked me from their heart what they can do about these situations. And you know why? Because of consistency. My team and I were in front of them every week, all year long. And they felt like they could trust us with their heart. How can I be a good friend? People call me names. They call me fat, stupid, idiot. Please help. People keep dying in my family. What do I do? My grandma has cancer. I'm scared. What do I do? It feels strange to say, will you forgive me? Is there a different way to say I'm sorry? I replied and told them to say both. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. My dad works a lot. This actually happened right here in this community. My dad works a lot. He's a policeman, so I barely get to spend time with him. He got hurt, and he's been home. I don't want him to get better because he won't be home. I told an adult what my friend's doing wrong. I feel bad because they won't talk to me now. Was that the right thing to do? I'm going to just read you one more. My sister tried to kill herself, and my mom and dad fight over me all the time. Help me. These kids have real situations and real problems. And you're the answer. you can be a part of the answer to helping change their lives, dealing with those situations. I had at a school across town two years ago, a girl walk up to me and say, "Mr. Bob, I need to talk to you." So I kneel down to her, and she, as soon as I kneel down, two other girls run over. Teacher sponsor standing behind me. The teacher sponsor's listening. "Mr. Bob, there's a girl in our class that my mom, that says her dad is beating her up. He's beating her up and he's throwing her against the walls. I have a legal obligation to call DHS. Horrified me. These kids will trust you if you're consistent. If you are there for them every week and they know they can count on you, it doesn't matter if you stand in front of them with a microphone or you sit beside them on the floor. Honestly, I think you'll be more effective on the floor. But touch their lives. They're counting on you. And so are the generations after that. If we can touch these kids who are unchurched, I'm going to tell you a couple statistics. In most of our schools, we range anywhere between 13 and 50% of the kids in the program that are unchurched. Mom and dad don't go to church. Kids for Christ is the only church I have. What a difference you can make in their family and in their life. Mom and dad have been divorced. Would you believe I had 65% of the kids in a room of about 100 kids raise their hand? Shocked me. I thought, wait a minute, the divorce statistics, they're only 52%. Only, listen to me. And I realized that we have kids in there that there's two or three to one family. They haven't had that consistent love of God, that consistent balance in their home, a lot of them. And if you guys are there and consistent for them, they will count on you, they will trust you, and you can change your neighborhood, your city, the state, and your nation. I believe with all my heart that we are primed right now to affect the nation from the child, from the youth. We can touch the nation. It's the kids. But here's the chance to bring everybody together. Mom and dad sponsor the club. The kid gets excited and tells his friends about Jesus. All of a sudden, revival breaks out and the whole family is involved. What a cool thing. I just want to see you guys be a part of that. I just want to see people across this nation be a part of that. If you can be strong enough to do it, we can radically change the world. Father, thank you again. Thank you for empowering us to touch our city, empowering us to change the world around us. Not just this city, but Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Father, thank you that we can be used by you, utilized by you, to change this world. In Jesus' name.